Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as we mentioned before the break, the NAACP Centennial Convention is underway here in New York. This city, not the South, was the birthplace of the Civil Rights Organization 100 years ago in 1909. Do the math. We will talk about the NAACP at 100 throughout this week. On Thursday, President Obama will be here to address the convention, and of course, we'll cover that. By the way, you know how we talked about the president going to Rutgers last week? Turns out now he's not going to go to Rutgers. So many people want to attend this big campaign rally that he's going to have for John Corzine that they moved it to Holmdel. So that whole thing about Rutgers and the grease trucks last week, forget it. He's not going to Rutgers. But let's begin this coverage with the question of relevance. Just the name, NAACP, sounds like an anachronism, right? Who calls themselves colored people anymore? Does the NAACP need a new name? And it was for a long time seen as, you know, your parents' civil rights organization. But the group is having a resurgence. 150,000 new members in the last 10 years is the stat that I have, bringing membership back up to about 600,000, about the same as its peak in the 1960s. And we'll open up the phones for a few minutes to ask, are you a member of the NAACP? And a special invitation to anyone under 40 who is, 212-433-WNYC. Or if you are and your kids are under 40, how do they relate to it? Or anyone on this, 212-433-9692. And with us now to help ask the generational question is Tricia Rose, Brown University Africana Studies professor and author of the book, The Hip Hop Wars. Hey, Tricia, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Brian?
Good. Do the terms NAACP and hip hop belong in the same breath?
Well, I certainly hope so for both acronyms' future, right? I mean, for hip-hop's future and for the NAACP, I certainly hope so.
Let's see what Sam, calling from D.C., thinks about that. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you thinking?
So I'm 24. I just finished grad school, and I've been involved in, you know, Black student groups on my campus for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, but I never really got into the NAACP. My parents were both members, and they signed my brother and I up for lifetime memberships, but I was never active. And I just feel like they haven't really gotten in touch with this new generation. They haven't grabbed on to new technology, and it seems like a bunch of church folks selling fish dinners. And it's sad to say that because I think that, you know, they've done so much for the community, you know, for the last half century, but they haven't really bridged that divide the last 15, 20 years.
Sam, do you belong to some other civil rights organizations that are more, you know, contemporary in all those ways that you listed?
So I've been a student for the last 6 years, college and grad school, and I was involved in, you know, Black student groups on my campus. But besides that, you know, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sam, thanks a lot for calling. Tricia Rose, is that the challenge for the NAACP at 100?
Well, it certainly is part of the challenge. I think the most important thing that I took from this young man's call is the language of the conversation that they're having about race and about inequality and about justice is not in the framework of a youthful point of view. It's also not using technology very well, you know, to reach out in ways that feel cutting edge, in ways that feel that it's sort of, you know, speaking to the future enough. And I think those are actually very important. I don't think the actual issues are all that different. And that's really what's remarkable about it, that if you were to ask even, say, hip-hop generation political organizations that have an explicit political agenda what their points are almost identical to what the NAACP has been fighting for and against for 100 years. So it's really very much about rhetoric, about style, about technology, about putting youthful leaders in high positions. So it's really much more about reshaping the framing of the organization, it seems to me, and less about changing the political content.
Nicole in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Are you a member of the NAACP?
Yes, I've been a member for about 5 years.
And how old are you, if that's not a rude question?
I'm 36.
Uh-huh. And so what led you to join at age 31 or so?
Well, definitely just maintaining the organization, and I obviously respect its history. And I think the organization has been very successful politically in terms of black visibility in politics and even in media representation, but I think it's still very concerned with economic and educational gaps amongst blacks, and I think those are really current issues that need to continue to get pushed through the organization and other black civic groups.
What were you thinking when you heard Sam, the previous caller, talk about how it feels to him like his parents' civil rights organization?
Well, I mean, I think there is some truth to that, but I don't think that's a reason to be turned off from it.
Nicole, thank you very much. And Trish Rose, do they need a new name? Is that an impolitic question to ask? I mean, or just change their name to their initials like the AARP did when they didn't want to keep saying retired, or NARAL when they didn't want to keep saying abortion. You know, the Lawyers Committee for Human Rights, they're now Human Rights First. Maybe they thought lawyers was bad PR. I mean, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People in 2009.
But, you know, it's funny. I heard you mentioning that in the previous segment, and I started thinking, you know, the names of African Americans have changed so many times over the past 100 years that if they were to change it based on that, we'd have to change it every 25 years. So I actually think that, ironically, if we were to rewrite what the word colored means, we can use that name as a gateway for a much more explicitly multiracial movement. I mean, look, the NAACP started as an interracial movement. I'm not sure most of your listeners, unless they study these issues, are really aware of just how multiracial it was. In fact, it was really liberal whites that founded the organization in honor and in the spirit of Du Bois's Niagara movement, which was started a few years earlier. And so it was always about people who were fighting for justice for African Americans, but not always themselves African American. So in this day and age, we have such a multiracial society. We say people of color. Maybe this can be an African American oriented group that speaks to a variety of people of color. I mean, I don't actually think we need to change the name. I think we need to change the perception of what that means.
Lenny in Rockland County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lenny.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Actually, exactly what you're talking about. I am a 22-year-old black male, and I don't want to join an organization that calls me a colored person. And now I understand all of the history and the great things, and Du Bois and the Niagara Boys and all of these things, but it just feels ancient to me, and I feel like I want to be looking forward rather than looking backwards.
How about if they just change it to NAAPC, so it's people of color rather than colored people?
I guess. I mean, just the entire organization, I feel like that there are different venues for change, and I feel like maybe it hasn't evolved at the same rate as black people in general, which is why there's this whole question of whether hip-hop and NAACP can go hand in hand.
What are one or two of your preferred venues for change right now? Have any on the tip of your tongue?
Not really. I mean, really for me, it's really just all about frank conversation between people. And I feel like NAACP can, even if it's not, it can feel daunting to white people or Latino people or other people. It feels like it's kind of almost unapproachable. Colored people, am I even supposed to say that? You know, I just feel like maybe it's a misconception. Maybe as your other caller was saying, that it's something different. I just don't feel like it relates to me in any real appreciable way.
Lenny, thank you very much. Trisha Rose, before you go, are you looking for anything from the president when he speaks here on Thursday? This is such a big thing. They were going to do it at Yankee Stadium. I don't know if that's the final venue. I think they moved it out of there, but it, you know, tens of thousands of people. And President Barack Obama, with all that he represents historically, speaking to the 100th anniversary convention of the NAACP.
I mean, it's an extraordinarily important moment. And I hope that in many ways Obama can speak to not just the historical legacy, but the ways that the matters of race and racial inequality, as it's institutionalized, are in new formations. They're in new frameworks that young people are intuitively aware of, but don't necessarily have the same organizational assistance in responding to. I hope that his movement agenda and Obama's focus on, you know, bringing people people together can really help us see ahead. And I think, and again, it's important to have new organizations, certainly, but I also think it's very important not to imagine that we're not being hailed because the language is not perfect. I mean, think about all the language in hip-hop that doesn't hail women properly and that doesn't hail black people properly, and yet we don't have a problem suggesting that we have a whole generation named after it. So it's really important to keep these connections in mind, and I think it's going to be an incredible moment to have Obama address that, and lots of young people are planning on coming. And so I think there's a future that can be had, but it has to be claimed by every generation in order for that to continue.
Trisha Rose, Brown University Africana Studies professor and author of The Hip Hop Wars. Trisha, as always, thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Take care, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Of course, we will have that Obama speech to the NAACP convention live on WNYC on Thursday. We continue to have live coverage on our website all day today of the Sonia Sotomayor hearings. We'll dip in on the show again here on and off throughout the morning as well. But WNYC.org, if you want to hear gavel to gavel, it's just Senate Judiciary Committee members' speeches so far. No Sonia yet. So stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, more help for our unemployed listeners. We will have advice for acing your phone interview. Stay with us.